This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Alright, so it's Thursday. It is May 3rd. And let me tell you what's going on today. First up, so yesterday we had the Utah Jazz and Houston Rockets playing in their Game 2. Alright, we're going to be talking about that for the first segment. Looks like Matt Ryan is going to be getting a extension with the Atlanta Falcons. Looks like it's going to be $100 million guaranteed. So we're going to be talking about that for the second segment. And we talked briefly about it yesterday, but we're going to go more in depth on it today as far as Toronto, the Raptors, okay? I've been seeing a lot of people talk about the fact that Game 2 is a must-win for them. And if not, then they're done in the series. So I'm going to give my thoughts on it. I'm going to be a little bit more level-headed than some of these other people as far as talking about it. I mean, yes, you would like to go out and win Game 2, but nonetheless, I wouldn't go and call it a must-win. But like I said, we'll get more into it for the third segment. And then for the fourth segment, we're going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports or anything that crosses my mind as far as stuff I want to talk about. So that's how it's going to go. We're going to enjoy it. It's going to be fun. So let's get into it. All right. Like I said, we had Utah versus Houston yesterday. And, I mean, this seems like it's the... How I said in the first round of the playoffs that Toronto versus Washington was the NBA TV series. Okay? Obviously, by that meaning... saying that meaning no one's going to pay attention to it. And they're going to throw it on NBA TV rather than TNT or ESPN. So that was the NBA TV series. The NBA TV series for this round... Obviously, none of the games are going to be on NBA TV, but nonetheless, the one that no one's really paying attention to is Utah versus Houston. All right? I feel like Philly versus Boston has got more coverage. Cleveland versus Toronto has definitely got more coverage. Now that Steph is back, the Warriors versus Pelicans has gotten a whole lot more coverage. And then you got Houston and Utah where it's pretty much just forgotten. No one's even paying attention to it. At one point, I nearly forgot that Utah was even in the playoffs. It was ridiculous. All right? But nonetheless, here they are. And you know what? They're winning game two. We're going to talk more about Utah and that whole little no one's paying attention to them after I give out the score and stats. So let's get into it right here. Like I said, game two is in Houston. And Utah won this one 116-108. For Utah, you had Derek Favors with 10 points, 3 rebounds, shot 5 of 7. Royce O'Neal got the start on this one since Ricky Rubio has been out. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, shot 2 of 5. Joe Ingles had 27 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Shot 10 of 13 from the field, and 9 of those shots came from 3. He hit 7 of them. All right, Joe Ingles, by far one of... No, he is the most underrated player in the league. Rudy Gobert had 15 points, 14 rebounds, shot 5 of 7. Donovan Mitchell struggled in this one, which is, I guess, even more intriguing to say because of the fact that Utah still pretty much did whatever they wanted against Houston. If you're watching that game, it was a matter of Utah was just the better team. Even with Donovan Mitchell playing as poorly as he did, he had 17 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 6 of 21, 2 of 8 from the 3-point line. Was it plus 13, though? So, I mean, as far as the scoring, yeah, that was poor, but he did help as far as producing in other areas of the game. Jay Crowder played 34 minutes off the bench in this one. He had 15 points, 10 rebounds, shot 5 of 10, 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. Dante Exum only had 9 points in this one, did shoot 3 of 7, 2 of 3 from the 3-point line, did have 4 rebounds, but I mean, him only scoring 9 points doesn't really put an emphasis, or doesn't really shine the light on how well he played yesterday. Alec Burks had 17 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, shot 7 of 11. And then for the Rockets, you had Trevor Ariza with 5 points, 4 rebounds, shot 2 of 5. PJ Tucker had 5 points in that one, 10 rebounds, shot 2 of 9. Clint Capella had 21 points, 11 rebounds, shot 10 of 15. Chris Paul, 23 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 8 of 19 there, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. James Harden had 32 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds, shot 9 of 22, 2 of 10 from the 3-point line. And then over off the bench, you had Eric Gordon with 15 points, 6 rebounds, shot 5 of 16, 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. Gerald Green only played 9 minutes in this one. I'm not really sure why Gerald Green isn't getting too many minutes, but nonetheless, he had 3 points, had 2 steals, was a 1 of 3 from the field. Then you had Luke Mbamute, who played 16 minutes. He had 4 points, 4 rebounds there, shot 1 of 4. Like I said, Jazz won this one, 116 to 108. And Houston in the fourth quarter looked like they were trying to make a run to get back into the game. And it was one of those where, yeah, they're making a run, but Utah's not really going to let you get back into it. They're going to score like they did. Dante Exum had pretty much a dagger of a dunk yesterday where you knew, oh, yeah, game's over. They're not coming back. All right. And I mentioned earlier how this is the NBA TV series. No one's really paying attention to it. And it's the truth. I mean, Utah just isn't that team where they move the needle, okay? And I'm not talking about their ability or anything like that. I'm talking about just fan bases and pretty much just excitement and all. It's Utah, you know? But nonetheless, I mean, they're a team where we got to pay attention to them, okay? They're a team where they could very well, dare I say it, sneak past Houston, okay? Houston in the first round against Minnesota, I think if you truly watch them, you could tell that they weren't playing their best basketball at all, okay? Like, they just simply weren't. Yeah, they won in 5 games, but it's more so just, I think Minnesota is a poorly coached team, and I just think that Minnesota maybe was a little bit overrated, okay? And I don't even know if you can overrate the 8th seed, but nonetheless, I mean, I don't know, maybe it was just bad spot at the wrong time or whatever with Jimmy Butler being out for the last month and a half of the season, so they fall a bit to 8th, and rather than if Jimmy Butler was there, they're probably playing a team like the Pelicans or even the Trailblazers, so maybe there's a difference there, but it's just in round 1, I mean, Houston just didn't look as good as they did in the regular season, and I think we're still waiting on Houston to play their best basketball. I think that's fair to say, no? And with Utah, it's a matter of they look great in that first round, okay? Yeah, they lost game 1, whatever, doesn't matter, it's game 1. Oklahoma City had a lot of momentum on their side since they're at home. Okay, other than that, they went 3 in a row. Game 5 comes, and in reality, I understand the Thunder ended up stealing that one, but Utah was up 25 in that game. Oklahoma City had no business winning it whatsoever, so in reality, I mean, even though it did end in 6, should have ended in 5. Okay, so Utah has looked good all playoffs long. And, like, they don't have a star on that team. Like, there's not one star. Okay, like, Houston has Chris Paul, James Harden. Where is Utah's star? Okay, and don't tell me it's Donovan Mitchell because of the fact that the dude's a rookie still. Okay, he's not a star yet. I mean, Rudy Gobert, not a star. Joe Ingles, like I said, the most underrated player in the league, and it's not close. Jay Crowder's off-the-bench guy. I mean, there's no superstars there. Okay, for me, the Jazz are Boston Celtics West. All right. Over in Boston, yeah, they got Kyrie, they got Hayward, but those guys are hurt. The team they got right now, there's no stars. Terry Rozier, not a star. Tatum, not. Brown, not. Horford, not. Okay. But nonetheless, they got a lot of, I don't want to say ragtag guys, because, I mean, both teams, Utah and Boston, do have some pretty good players, but just guys like Dante Exum, Alec Burks, okay? Guys who, if you put them on the Charlotte Hornets or any team like that, you're not going to get what Utah gets from them, okay? The same way you put a guy like, how do you say, Shane Larkin, okay, from Boston. You put Shane Larkin on the Hornets or whoever else, Detroit, whoever else you want to think of, Shane Larkin isn't going to be nearly as productive as he is with Boston than he is with, or not going to be nearly as productive with Detroit than he would be with the Boston team, okay? Brad Stevens and Quinn Snyder know how to get the most out of their players and pretty much maximize their talents. That's why they're so successful. That's why the Jazz are going back to Utah tied 1-1 in that series. Okay. The guys like Joe Ingles, where I'm sure no one really pays attention to him before. Now, everyone's starting to learn Joe Ingles' name. Derek Favors, guy who's been in the league for about, 7 years? Hasn't really been a star, but a guy where Quinn Snyder knows how to get the most out of him. Okay, guys like Royce O'Neal. Royce O'Neal is the perfect example of it. I'm telling you Royce O'Neal right now, his name, you don't even know who he is, I'm sure. Okay, you're not even sure what number he wears or what he looks like or anything like that. You just know maybe you've seen him on the box score or whatever that he's out there. Okay, this guy's getting starts in the Western Conference semifinals against the one seed in the West. I mean, Quinn Snyder, legit, does know how to coach and eventually will become a top five coach, if not already. All right. And like I said, with the Rockets, I mean, they haven't been impressive so far. Like, I haven't, there's nothing really, like, it's just, there's something missing with them, I feel. All right. And maybe it's just a matter of, with the way that Houston plays, okay, they play very fast-paced, boom, 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 the little, what was it, like, the little, in Phoenix, what did they call that offense that Mike D'Antoni used to run? I can't remember exactly, but nonetheless, they run a similar type of offense there, where it's just quick, fast-paced, three after three after three, okay? Here, it's a little bit more difficult to run something like that because the playoffs, the game slows down a bit, all right? And I feel like that's such a cliche in a way, too. When you think about it. But unless the game, it does slow down once the playoffs come. So maybe that's why we're seeing Houston maybe struggle a bit. Because of the fact that the playoffs really doesn't really, how do you say, support an offensive system such as the one that Houston runs. Okay? And I'm not going out and saying that Houston is bad because of it. Or they're going to lose to the Jazz. Because I still do have Houston winning this series. But it does make sense to see why, at least why I haven't really seen them play their best basketball so far in the playoffs. All right. But, I mean, as far as both teams go, it's just a matter of this series could come down to six games, maybe seven. And, I mean, it's just a matter of, now that I think about it, going back to Utah, I see Utah probably coming back to Houston for game five, tied 2-2 at least. Okay? I highly doubt that Houston picks up both games in Utah. I just don't see that happening. Okay? And especially when Utah gets Ricky Rubio back, if they do in this series, I mean, Utah's going to get even better. So, we'll see about it. But one thing I've noticed, too, Utah fans quickly becoming public enemy number one for these NBA players. And I'm with the NBA players on this one, okay? I saw a video yesterday of one of the Utah fans kind of leaning over a rail, had a phone in James Harden's face, and James Harden slapped it away. I mean, I think it was like two instances where fans got in Harden's face with their phones. What do you expect if you're the fan? I could care less if you're paying your hard-earned money or whatever to go see. Like, that doesn't allow you to go out and pretty much have your phone in these guys' faces, okay? Yes, they're professional athletes, but they're just regular humans like the rest of us. And it's funny, when you see these people do it and then, like, a player will push their phone away or whatever, they feel like all defense, get all defensive and stuff like that. And then it was funny, you see the cops saying, well, you shouldn't have been leaving it over. All right? And they're right. So as far as Utah fans, I mean, they are kind of rubbing me the wrong way too a bit, just given how I just don't like fans getting in other players' faces with their phones and stuff. I just feel like it's weird. Like, if this guy wasn't good at basketball, you wouldn't be doing that. So we'll see. But as far as it all goes down, I mean, Utah, big win here in game two. So we'll see if they're able to end up winning this series or at least extending it a bit longer. All right. I mean, they still got two games left in Utah, so we'll see about that. Two games left in Utah for sure. I mean, game six, if necessary. But nonetheless, we'll see. So we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking Matt Ryan, getting his big extension, give my thoughts on him, the quarterback himself, and his contract. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Spent that first segment talking about Utah and Houston, their game two. Talked a bit about Utah being the forgotten team in the playoffs and pretty much why we need to start giving them more respect. Talked a bit about Houston too. Talked about the fact that I really don't think that they've played their best basketball yet, and I'm not really sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing because of the fact that they've won six out of their last eight games in the playoffs. So we'll see. Actually, was it what? Five out of their last seven games, I should say. Okay, so I won five out of the last seven. All right, but nonetheless, now we're going to head over to the NFL. I don't think we talked NFL yesterday. Yeah, we did not. We talked soccer. We talked Champions League. All right. Like I said, this podcast, the sports one, we talk about everything here. Eventually, when Tiger Woods ends up coming back from his little rest or whatever he's taking, we're going to be talking about Tiger too. Okay? When Serena Williams is out there dominating, we'll be talking about her too. But nonetheless, we're back to the NFL here. All right, so Matt Ryan looks like he's getting an extension. And obviously, I mean, given what Kirk Cousins got, I'm sure we all realize that Matt Ryan's going to get a whole lot more. Sure enough, he did. Okay. He's going to be getting, I think it's, what, 5 years? A five-year extension? I have to double-check the details as far as the years. But I think it's a five-year extension. And it's $100 million guaranteed. Okay. $100 million. Like, Matt Ryan can never play. Well, let's say he's got to play. So he's got to go out there. Matt Ryan can go out there. First game, boom. I'm going to throw about five interceptions. Be the worst quarterback I could be. Falcons bench him. Still makes $100 million. I mean, that's ridiculous. Okay, so yeah, it is a five-year extension. $100 million guaranteed. $30 million per year. And, like, this is all coming from the Kirk Cousins extension. And, I mean, now it's just a matter of, this is the new marketplace for quarterbacks. Okay? The quarterback position is always evolving as far as the play and as far as the money. And with Matt Ryan getting this money, I mean, is he worth it? If Kirk Cousins, like, that's always a weird question to talk about, like, what a player is worth. Because of the fact that now it's about, like, the saying goes, it's the market dictates what you're worth. Okay, and I've kind of adopted that now as far as my thinking. So if Kirk Cousins is worth $93 million or however much he got. Was it 87 or 93? Either way, it was somewhere like in between there. We'll call it 90. We'll round it to 90, okay? So if Kirk Cousins is worth around $90 million, then yeah, I would say that Matt Ryan is definitely worth 100. Okay, and as far as Matt Ryan goes, I mean, what do we think of him as a quarterback? Okay? Came into the NFL, I think it was what, like 2010, I think it was? He's been around for quite some time. All right, I remember that was the year that Miami had their choice of him or Jake Long, and they take Jake Long, and that's just a matter of Miami just pretty much just, I don't know, Miami Dolphins right there. It's classic. Anyone say, oh, what's the Miami Dolphins like? Tell them that, okay? But now let me see when Matt Ryan came into the league, just so we have a little bit more context, okay? And he's going to be one of those guys where he's been around for a while, I bet. Yeah, so he's been in the league since 2008, so I was still 2 years off. That's crazy. Matt Ryan's already been in the league for 10 years. Wow. Nonetheless, though, I mean, I'm looking. You kind of forget. 2008 was a long time ago. All right, he went 11-5 that year. Dude, for 3,400 yards, 16 touchdowns, 11 picks. Let me see. Matt Ryan, you know what? I think I've always kind of undervalued Matt Ryan as far as himself being a quarterback in this league. But now that I'm, like, refreshing the stats and all that, Matt Ryan's always been a very good quarterback. Went 11-5 in his first year, 9-5 in his second. Only played 14 games, though, that year. Third year, they go 13-3. Fourth year, they go 10-6. Fifth year, they go 13-3 again. Then 2013, they go 4-12. 2014, they go 6-10, so that was a bit of a rough spot. 2015, they pick it up a bit, go 8-8. 2016, they go 11-5 and reach the Super Bowl. End up losing. And then 2017, they go 10-6 and still make the playoffs and win a game. Matt Ryan, I'm going to go out and say it. Matt Ryan needs to be a bit more appreciated as far as himself being a quarterback. I mean, his postseason numbers, I mean, as far as, they're not great now that I look at it though. I mean, he's 4-6 in the playoffs. I don't know. I think his best year, yeah, his first 4 years in the league, he made the playoffs three times, did not win a game there. Didn't win his first playoff game till 2012, 2016, the year they go to the Super Bowl. He won two games, obviously. Lost that one in the Super Bowl there. 2017, they go 1-1. So he's been kind of off and on. I mean, the last last three playoff appearances, he's gotten wins more so than losses. He's went 4-3. Yeah, so there's that. But, I mean, as far as Matt Ryan, like, where do you rank him? Okay, obviously, he's not better than Brady, and we're going to do it again where we look. Well, division by division, I mean, in the NFC East, I'll take him over any quarterback there, except give it a couple more years, and I'll take Wentz over him. NFC North, Rodgers is better for me. Yes, Matt Stafford is better for me. South, I will take him in that division. At one point, yes, I would take Drew Brees, but now it's a matter of not anymore. Let's see, NFC West, I would take Russell Wilson. How many quarterbacks have we gone through so far? We've gotten Rodgers, Stafford, Wilson, that's three. Okay, then I got Brady, four. And AFC North, Big Ben. Big Ben or Matt Ryan at this point? I don't know, that's a tough question right there. So we'll put Matt Ryan over right now. AFC South, if Luck was healthy, I'd take him, but he's not. And then there's the AFC West. I'm not taking Philip Rivers over him. So, I mean, yeah, Matt Ryan's a borderline top five quarterback. Okay, I've always thought that Matt Ryan was a good quarterback, not a great one. But now that I'm thinking about it, now I'm starting to refresh myself a bit and pretty much just putting into perspective where he is, at least for me, among all the quarterbacks in the league. Yeah, Matt Ryan is a very good quarterback. If anything, a great quarterback. Okay, and I was talking with Tate before I did the show. We were talking about Matt Ryan getting his extension. He said pretty much if Matt Ryan wasn't playing for the Falcons, he was playing for one of the bigger franchises like a Dallas Cowboys, New England Patriots, or guys like that, he'd be regarded as a better quarterback, and I'm inclined to agree there. Okay, we talk about Ben Roethlisberger as a great quarterback in this league, top five, and I mean, for me at least right now, I couldn't even decide who was better, him or Ryan. And I don't think we really talk about Matt Ryan enough as far as being a top five quarterback, okay? And maybe it's just one of those things where, yeah, he plays for the Falcons, but nonetheless, I mean, he's done pretty well for himself so far in his career. I'll give him that. And I do like what the Falcons did this draft. I'm giving him another big play receiver in Calvin Ridley. I mean, you can't go wrong there. And I think didn't they lose Taylor Gabriel too, I think it is? Or is he still there with the team? I thought they lost some receiver, but I might be getting them mixed up with another speedy receiver. But either way, I mean, him and Ridley, or Julio Jones and Ridley, they're going to look nice, and that's going to be perfect for Matt Ryan. I mean, this past year for the Falcons, I feel, was a disappointing one. Like, yeah, well, disappointing for the offense, I should say. Okay, because, like, yeah, they made the playoffs and stuff, but if you paid attention to that Falcons offense compared to the year they went to the Super Bowl, it had to be brutal. Like, I can only imagine being an Atlanta Falcons fan, and you go from that year you went to the Super Bowl where you probably had one of the better offenses of all time. Okay, like, they were that good. They were putting up 30-plus, I feel like, on any given night. And then you go to the Steve Sarkisian offense where it's like Julio Jones is a decoy, and you're trying to get the ball to Mohamed Sanu, and you only run the ball about 20 times combined with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman back there. It's a bit of a problem, okay? It's a big problem. So now it's just a matter of how good are they going to look this season with Steve Sarkisian in the second year? I don't know. I'm very curious. But nonetheless, I mean, like, is Matt Ryan an eventual Hall of Famer? Okay, like, if he were to retire, would we talk about, oh, is Matt Ryan even going to, like, get into the Hall of Famer? Like, would that even be a conversation? I think not right now, okay? I say if Matt Ryan were to retire, kind of like, usually like the Megatron example, okay? Megatron retired Calvin Johnson from Detroit, and we talked about whether or not he'd be a Hall of Famer or where he stood among the top receivers of all time, okay? And I do think Calvin Johnson is a top 10 receiver all time. I mean, all you had to do was go out and watch the guy. The guy was a beast. And as far as Matt Ryan, I don't think Matt Ryan has done enough yet to be regarded as a guy who, not a top quarterback all the time, but just a Hall of Famer. Like, I don't know why either. He's got, like, I'm not saying he should be a Hall of Famer right now, but we don't even, like, talk about, like, eventually, I don't think. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's won an MVP. He's got playoff wins. He's got four of them, for that matter. And ever since he's been in the league, his team has been solid. Yeah. Maybe eventually we got to start talking about whether or not Matt Ryan is a future Hall of Famer. I think that's the conversation we need to have, unless you guys already had this conversation. I'm just a little bit late to the party. All right? Guys like Matt Stafford, too. Like, Matt Stafford's got, like, Hall of Fame numbers right now. But the fact of the matter is, the dude has no playoff resume whatsoever. Okay? Matt Stafford, if he were to win, like, one Super Bowl, he's automatic Hall of Famer. But either way, like, Matt Ryan, I think eventually, maybe we can start talking about if he eventually could become one. All right, but nonetheless, I mean, Matt Ryan getting $100 million. I mean, the next question I have from that is, how much are we giving Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers very well could get an extension this year. And the Packers would be very, 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 very dumb to let it fall over to next year. Because it kind of seems like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers relationship is kind of fractured a bit, just given everything. But nonetheless, I mean, if Matt Ryan's getting at least, like, getting 100, Aaron Rodgers has to be worth at least, like, 115 guaranteed, right? I mean, Matt Ryan, yeah, he's great, and we just sung his praises, but he didn't come close to Aaron Rodgers. No doubt. And it's crazy how Aaron Rodgers is going to get a huge deal when he's already 34. But nonetheless, it's tough to find a quarterback out here, so good for Matt Ryan. Shout out to Kirk Cousins for pretty much blowing up the quarterback market. And Aaron Rodgers should very well get $115 million guaranteed at least. So we'll see. And I think it's going to be one of those where, I mean, guaranteed contracts for quarterbacks is the way to go now. So we'll see if it's going to be one thing that keeps happening. But we're going to wrap it up here. Like I said, there's been a lot of talk about Game 2 tonight for the Toronto Raptors being a must win. I'm not so sure it is, so I'm going to give my thoughts on it. And we'll talk about pretty much just that series. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked Matt Ryan and his $100 million guaranteed deal, extension, 5 years, and we talked Utah versus Houston Game 2 in the first segment. I think that's the first time we've let off with the Utah Jazz in the first segment, isn't it? I think so. It's the first for everything here. But nonetheless, for this segment, we're going to head over to the East. All right, we got two games going on tonight. We got Philly versus Boston, Cleveland versus Toronto, and we're really just going to focus on Toronto for this segment. All right, so let's get into it. So, I mean, the Toronto Raptors have always been that team where the last 5 or so years, they've been very competitive in the East, okay? More so finished top five, I think, for all of those years. I have to double check, but nonetheless, they've been very good. Last few years has been kind of like their years as a top team in the East. Not like the number one team, but nonetheless a team who you can throw in there with the Cleveland Cavaliers and Boston Celtics of last year and stuff. Just that team was like top three, okay? That's been them. And this year they ended up finishing as the one seed, pretty much ran away with it once they passed Boston, and looked good all year, okay? Kyle Lowry was playing well. DeMar DeRozan, I think, was having one of the best years of his career, at least from my opinion. The bench was playing extremely well. Serge Ibaka's been having a good year. Jonas Valanciunas has been doing his job as a center great. So everything was good in Toronto land, okay? You had Toronto fans pretty much talking about, oh, those years where we choked and all that, those are different. This is a different team. We're going to be better, okay? Me talking with Tate before the shows and all that, oh, yeah, you can't pretty much hold Toronto's past to them. And I agreed. Okay? I tried giving Toronto a chance. Now we get to round two, game one. They blow it. And the floodgates have absolutely opened. Okay? They have opened. Toronto this. Toronto's choking. Same old Toronto. I think that was the title of our podcast yesterday, the sports one. Same old Toronto. Okay? With Toronto, there's talk. They got game two tonight. Okay, there's talk. Is game two a must-win for them? I think First Take was talking about it, and I'm sure my dispute was talking about it a bit. Okay, is it a must-win? And if you, like, there's many different ways to think about game two. You could think about it in a journalistic way. You can think about it in a team way. Or you can think about it in a logical way. Okay? And I think that we're going to go through each way and pretty much see. So you think about it in the journalistic way. Okay. The guys on First Take, the media. Is game two a must win? If you think about it, the narrative is right now. And it's funny how things change. But as of right now, given that they lost game one, the narrative is. Same old Toronto team. They're choked. Game two, must win. Okay. And I do understand it. I mean, we had Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Like, yes, those are the two best players on the Raptors, right? I think we can both agree. Okay. Why is Fred VanVleet taking the last shot in overtime? Was it overtime or was it the fourth quarter? I think it might have been overtime. But either way, Fred VanVleet missed a wide open big three. Okay. And Lowry and DeRozan not taking that shot pretty much feeds the narrative of, yeah, they're scared. Okay? So you know what? In a way, game two is a must win because of the fact that the narrative will be they have no shot now. Fact of the matter is, yeah, you lose game two, I highly doubt you get both games in Cleveland. Okay? So yes, in a media way, if you're looking at it that way, yeah, it's a must win. From a team perspective, game two is just another game. It's not a must-win at all. All right? Got to go out and win it just like you tried to win all your other ones. And even if you do lose, you still think that, hey, we got a chance. We're going back to Cleveland. We got to fix up a couple of things. But nonetheless, we can get the job done. We can take two. All right? So if you're thinking about it in a team win, sure. Game two, no. Not a must-win. Now, thinking logically, okay, you go, let's say you lose game two, okay? It's not looking good. Obviously, you definitely need to win at least one in Cleveland just to get the series back. Let's say you do that. You come back to Toronto down 3-1. Home court, game five, right? Team's going to be cheering you on. You win game five. It's 3-2. Cleveland hasn't really looked good this series, hasn't looked good in the playoffs. Could very, very well win game six. Okay, the series is not over by any means, if you're thinking logically. Okay. But you can't think logically in sports. It doesn't work that way. So with Toronto, I mean, game two being a must win, my personal opinion, it's not a must win for Toronto, but it'd be less than ideal if you go back to Cleveland down 2-0, given your history, given the way that you choked in game one. I mean, they got to go out and get this at least. Okay? And, I mean, it's a must win, but it isn't in the same way. Okay? Because, obviously, if you're down 2-0 going into Cleveland, yeah, that's not great, but you still do have a chance to even the series back up or at least keep it close. Okay? And it's a must win in the way where you don't want to go to Cleveland down 2-0 because of the fact that Kyle Lowry pretty much shrinks. This whole team shrinks when it comes to the big time. I mean, it was ridiculous just how they gave up game one. And Toronto, I mean, eventually, like, I'm sure they're going to have to get over this whole we choke in the playoffs type of thing. Eventually, that's going to have to stop because of the fact that it's either it stops or they just become a bad team because of the fact they peaked. Teams like the Wizards, teams like the Trailblazers, they have nothing left. Well, they do have stuff to accomplish, but it's just not going to happen. Okay, we know the Wizards are never going to win a title, at least with the guys they got now. And same with Portland as far as
making it into the second round or even into the Western Conference Finals. That's not going to happen anytime soon with this team. I mean, one of those spots is locked up, I'd say, for the next 3 years in Golden State. You think Portland could be one of those teams where they're that other team that gets to play Golden State in the Western Conference Finals? I don't think so. Okay? And it's just with Toronto, you don't want to become one of those teams. You don't want to have a core of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry with guys like Valanciunas and Ibaka and pretty much just make the playoffs year after year after year. But your thing is, hey, we can't make the playoffs, or we can't make the Western or the Eastern Conference Finals. We can't go out and compete for a title. All right. So you know what? I'm kind of changing my mind a bit. Tonight for Toronto, I think it is a must win. Because of the fact that I think, like, in a way it is, and in a way it is, like I said. Okay, if they don't win, technically, the series is still alive, and technically they still got a chance. But we know that in reality, they lose game two, series is over. Okay? You're not, unless by some miracle, you're not going to get multiple games back over on LeBron. I just don't see it happening, especially in Cleveland. Like, maybe you could get one, and then you end up coming back to Toronto for game five down 3-1. But even then, so you've already shown that you're vulnerable at home, where LeBron James could beat you at home. And let's say you win game five, then you got game six in Cleveland. Okay. It's not looking great for them. Let me see what the lines are looking like for tonight, too. Let's see who's favored in that game. I mean, I assume it's got to be Cleveland. Wow. It's actually Toronto by 6.5. Toronto, Vegas having Toronto favored by 6.5 is pretty wild, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. Just given how they played in game one, how they choked in game one, I mean, I don't understand how you can make them that high of favorites. But nonetheless, here we are. And as far as the night goes, I mean, it's a matter of Toronto didn't even play poorly in game one. They played fine. It's just they shrunk in the last couple minutes of the game, and that hurt them. Can't shrink here. So I'm very curious to see what Toronto does. And we got a weird start time for that game, too. That game's going to be on at 3 p.m. Pacific time. I don't know like what's going on with the NBA scheduling. I understand it's two East teams playing tonight, but maybe just stack or just have them play at the same time. But I understand that's not the way the NBA does stuff. That's more so the NHL speed there. But nonetheless, I mean, a 3 o'clock start time, at least Pacific time, is pretty brutal. And even 6 o'clock on the East Coast, I mean, you're going to be getting off of work at that time. So we'll see. But nonetheless, Toronto, it's not a must win, but it is also, if that makes any sense. And I'm sure it does. I'm sure you guys get what I'm saying here. But nonetheless, we'll see what goes on. Like I said, we got Philly versus Boston. Maybe we'll talk about that one a bit for the next segment. Who knows? But actually, speaking of the next segment, we're going to be heading over there right now. So we're going to wrap up this one. Like I said, for the fourth segment, we're going to talk about anything else going on in the world of sports and pretty much making my picks for tonight's games, too. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Let's see, what have we talked about today? We've talked about Utah versus Houston, we've talked Matt Ryan, and we've talked Toronto Raptors. Okay. And as you know, for the fourth segment, we always just talk about whatever else is going on in the world of sports. And when we talk about whatever else is going on, we mean everything. All right, so let's do it. Let's talk about everything. So Oscar De La Hoya, all right, Golden Boy promoter, was once a great boxer. Now, looking to start an MMA company, it's looking like. Okay, there's not too much details going on, coming out about it or anything like that. But nonetheless, there's reports that Oscar De La Hoya is looking to start an MMA company, if not already in the process of starting it. Okay. And I saw the first fighter De La Hoya is trying to get is Chuck Liddell. Okay. And I'm not the MMA guru or anything like that. That's Tate. He's got the GMSMC MMA podcast. Check that one out. But nonetheless, I mean, Oscar De La Hoya starting an MMA company. I mean, you got to think that I'm thinking more. This is going to be one of those XFL, Vince McMahon type stuff. Let's rival the NFL type of things here. It's not really going to work, I don't think. All right, he can try and bring in old man Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell's got to be like, what, 50 years old by now? 40? Something? Let's see, how old is Chuck Liddell right now? Chuck Liddell, he's got to be, let's see. He's 48. Come on, Oscar. He's 48 years old. Is that really what we're doing here? I mean, I do understand it. Chuck Liddell's a name. I'm not sure how the whole Bellator contracts work around, but maybe you go get a Rampage Jackson or something like that if he's still out there. But no, Oscar De La Hoya trying to start an MMA company. And looks like his first fighter could be Chuck Liddell. There's talks and all that, so we'll see. But nonetheless, I just wanted to bring that up a bit. I mean, Oscar De La Hoya, that's a businessman right there if I've ever seen one. All right, let's see what else is going on in the world of sports. We got Dr. J. We got Celtics Sixers tonight. Dr. J kind of not adding fuel to the fire or anything like that. Well, I mean, he is, but like for the wrong team, maybe. He came out and said that Julius Irving came out and said that Jason Tatum looks more like a top pick than Markelle Fultz. And I mean, is he wrong? Yeah, Fultz hasn't really played, but Tatum has. Best ability is availability. Fultz hasn't been available. Okay? And it's kind of weird. I'm not really sure if Dr. J has like a role with the 76ers or anything like that right now. But normally you wouldn't see like these older guys come out and say that. Normally you'd see a guy, a former player, come out and say about his former team or whatever. Oh yeah, this guy, I like his game. Talking about Fultz or whatever. Maybe yeah, talking about Fultz. Usually you hear him saying, oh yeah, I like his game. He just needs time and all that, and he'll turn out fine. Rather than going out and saying that Jason Tatum looks more like the number one pick rather than Markelle Fultz in the middle, well, beginning of a playoff series between the two teams. Like, that's just weird to me. All right. But yeah, I mean, you can make the argument. Rather, it is a bit of a, or it is argument with a couple holes in it, but you can make the argument that Tatum has looked like the better rookie. Okay, and the whole of that argument is that Fultz has barely even played. Granted, when Fultz has been out there, he hasn't looked nearly as good as Tatum has. But nonetheless, I mean, how good can you look when you've missed pretty much the majority of your rookie season, and now you're just trying to get back into the fold of things as your team is trying to make the playoffs? And we haven't really seen Fultz play really in the playoffs so far. We saw him play a bit in game one, or in round one, I should say. In game one, he didn't play at all of round two against the Celtics. And maybe that's just, like, I don't knock Brent Brown for doing that. And I think I saw some people on ESPN talking about the fact that, is it like concerning or something like that, that Fultz hasn't been out there? And it's pretty much this. I mean, yes, Fultz is back. Yes, he's your number one, but can he contribute to winning now? Okay, as far as the playoffs go. Sure, if Fultz isn't really getting minutes next season in the regular season, then yeah, that's a problem. But it's the playoffs, okay? You got to go with TJ McConnell over Fultz right now because of the fact that McConnell has played with this team all year long. He's been there. pretty much knows what works, what doesn't. And you've had Fultz, who's pretty much just been working on a jump shot the entire year, barely back. And I am curious to see, too, like, if Fultz ends up getting some playing time in game two. Usually in the playoffs, we have stories like this where it's like the guy isn't really getting his shot. He comes out and he plays well. I'm thinking maybe that could be Markelle Fultz. Okay? Quite possibly. Who knows? But either way, as far as, I mean, Tatum being the better rookie, I mean, of course. Tatum's played all season long. And with Jason Tatum, I mean, this is probably the best draft pick Danny Ainge has ever made in his career. Tatum, without a doubt, I think, is a future superstar for the Celtics. Future star, at least. Okay. Last year, he took Brown. This year, he took Tatum. And I think even the year before he took Brown, he took Rozier. That might have been the year before that. Okay, so, I don't know, Danny Ainge, he does know how to draft. Usually he gets some heat for the way he drafts. But I think for the most part, he's done well. And also, too, like, when you're drafting in the mid-20s, late teens, you're really not going to get too much value there. I think you got Terry Rozier with a 19th pick. I think there was one draft where he took Kelly Olynyk, I think, with like the 26th pick, I think, or something like that. 20th, something like that, in the mid-20s, I think it was. And he hasn't really been a bad drafter. He's a better trader than he is a drafter, but nonetheless, he's been all right. All right, so, I mean, as far as it all goes, I mean, Tatum, he's a weird rookie, too. He's not playing like a rookie. This draft rookie draft class might just end up being one of the best ever. I mean, you got guys like Lonzo Ball, who played well this season. Tatum has played well. Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell already looking like the best players on their team. With Tatum, I mean, when Irving's not out there, he's the first option, so he's been doing well. Lauri Markkanen, who is probably the most underrated rookie this season, has been playing extremely well. All right. And then let's see. I mean, it's all across the board. De'Aaron Fox, Dennis Smith Jr., John Collins, Zach Collins. Josh Jackson has looked good. I don't think there was one, like, rookie this season where you're like, oh, yeah, this guy has been terrible. I mean, Malik Monk this year was pretty under the radar. Last 2 weeks of the season, he played extremely well. So, I mean, yeah, this rookie class has been pretty good. But getting back to the whole Dr. J thing, it is a very weird time for him to go out and say this. I mean, I know someone probably asked him a question about the two. But nonetheless, I mean, going out and saying that Jason Tatum probably should have been the first pick in the draft is, that's quite something from Julius Erving, honestly. Like, I get that you're a former player and you don't really owe anything to the franchise, but when the Sixers bring you around all the time and they're in the middle of a playoff series with one of their biggest rivals, I figure you wouldn't say something like that, but nonetheless, he did. And as far as the Philly-Boston rivalry, like, how, like, that was a rivalry back in, like, the 70s, 60s, and all that. Is that in the 80s? Is that still a rivalry today? Okay. I mean, the divisional stuff, like, that doesn't really matter anymore, I feel. Like, no one cares about divisions. Now that it doesn't mean anything, it's all about records. I mean, now you see Celtics-Cavs, like, that's a rivalry. Celtics-Lakers is still a rivalry. I just don't really see Sixers and Celtics as a rivalry. Maybe it's just something that needs to be rekindled a bit. Who knows? But, yeah, there's that. So, actually, let's make my picks for tonight's games here. All right, so like I said, we got Toronto and Cleveland. We got Boston versus Philly. Looking like Jaylen Brown's probably not going to be playing again tonight. And as for the Raptors, I mean, they're all healthy, so we'll see. All right, so speaking of Raptors and Cavs, who do I got? I feel like Toronto's got to come out and win this one, which they might. I don't know, like, you can't. I'm going to go with Toronto. I'm going to put my faith in Toronto one more night. Okay, if Toronto doesn't get it done here, I'm down with them. So I got Toronto tonight. And then for Philly and Boston, I'm going to go with Philly. I'm going to say they even up the series tonight. I went with Philly last game, too. Yeah, let's just go Philly in this one. I'm probably going to be wrong, but I'm going to go. Actually, you know, I picked Boston yesterday on the GSMC basketball podcast, so I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go Boston, okay? Even without Jaylen Brown, I'm going to go Boston. But I will say this, Philly's going to play a whole lot better than they did in game one, and I would not be surprised at all if they won. So we'll see. But we're going to wrap it up here. Today we talked Houston versus Utah. We talked about Toronto. whether game two is a must win or not. We talked about Matt Ryan getting his extension, and we talked about Oscar De La Hoya a bit, and also talked about Julius Erving's comments, Dr. J's comments. All right. So thanks for listening to the GESMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the two games tonight. So stay tuned and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.